October 28, 2020 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. on the thumb. Spring is taking form. Wheels are spinning round. So what are the wheels? Strawberry fields. Nothing is real.
Live from Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Last Wednesday for October. I voted yesterday. Week early.
Nice.
First time I ever did that. People, you can hear my guests. You thought I was man alone because I'm still quit quarantino mode. And Brother Matt, Love Grotto, I'm Pleasure Point there. But through the magic of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Peter Avalos. Did I pronounce that right?
Alvinos. Yeah.
Alvinos.
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 Kind of, like albatross.
Greek, huh?
Yeah. You got it.
Right. So nice. Probably another alphabet that I couldn't read. You know, I've played in Athens 4 or 5 times with Stooges. And when they say it's all Greek to me, it's like that. Like, you don't know how to even say it wrong because they're using... Actually, it's an earlier alphabet than this Roman one we use.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think it came from the Phoenicians, but the Greek guys added vowels.
Right.
So, you know, everybody pitching in together to try to fucking get it together. So
right.
We started off with the show, Freddie Freeloader, John Coltrane with Miles Davis, and then Fabulous Bird, which is one of your projects, O-O-O song. Pete, let's go all the way back. Your earliest musical recollection, please.
Woo! Let's see. Earliest. I have two. I don't know which one.
Well, look. It's a Watt from Pedro show, so there's never a hard question or a wrong answer.
All right. Well, I'm thinking when I was 7 or 8 years old, riding with my mother in her 1965 Mustang, driving over the Ashley River Bridge in Charleston, South Carolina. And I believe it was the Turtles. Happy Together was on the radio. And I remember asking my mother, can we go to the radio station to watch them play?
Oh, so there was a gig.
No, I thought these bands played live.
Oh, you thought the sound from the radio was actually these cats playing.
Yeah.
Hey, no, you know, like, that ain't too ridiculous because, you know, you're just a kid and trying to figure it out.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so 65. Now, the first Stangs are 64 and a half, so she's got one of the first ones.
Right.
And, you know, they were marketed towards women at first, and they wouldn't even... put V8s in them, or when they did, it was a real tiny one. But
sure.
I'm curious, at the PAG you grew up there in Charleston,
mm-hmm.
Was that musical instruments?
Not really. My brother played guitar a little bit. There was a guitar, but it wasn't really there. It was there, but I didn't. I was just into skateboarding, man.
Okay. So, what about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was not. Now, in church, being Greek, grew up in a Greek Orthodox church.
Yeah.
I did sing in a choir. When I was in high school, I wanted to learn more about my culture. And I started singing, reading the phonetics, English phonetics of old Greek Byzantine chants and hymns.
Right, because actually that's where the empire went, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Constantine, I think his name was.
Yeah.
But, okay, so how did you get on the drum? What drove you to the drum?
Man, I had a couple of friends in elementary school that had drum sets, but I'll tell you when it really came together for me. I was 22, 23 years old, and I was watching MTV, and there was this band from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called Let's Active.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been Mitch Easter, right. Sarah Romweber and Faye Hunter. And there was a song, Every Word Means No, and it kind of had that feel of I'm Not Your Stepping Stone, Monkees-esque. It was pop. And just watching those cool girls, man, with the big hair.
That's right. I mean, she was, they had a lady drummer, and we lost her to cancer, right?
Yeah. Just Sarah Romweber.
Right. And her brother was Dexter with the flat dual jet.
Yeah.
Great band,
yeah.
And I think that drummer man was Crow.
Yeah.
He had one name.
Crow. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You know, I forgot to ask you.
That did it for me. I wanted to be a drummer just watching that video.
They inspired you. I forgot to ask when you were more a boy. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it would have been Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Elton John.
And the first gig you went and saw, that was it coming over the Stang radio?
Oh, man. My first show, it was a band called the Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all... Yeah, they were on the Champagne Jam tour.
Okay.
Yes, probably. Going to have us a Champagne Jam. I mean, it was kind of a hook.
At least 3 hours, probably.
Yeah.
Long gig. Okay, right. Okay, let's get back to the Let's Active inspiration moment, the Eureka moment for fucking Pete.
Yeah.
So what, you went and got a drum set, or were you still borrowing friends?
I had a friend that had an extra drum set, and I traded a BMX bike and a skateboard for a drum set.
And what kind?
It was a white Slingerland kit.
Ah, Slingerland. George Hurley's first snare was a 40s wooden snare.
Wooden snare, yeah. Okay, this one had a metal snare. It was an all-white set. And this guy went through all the trouble of cutting little squares out of black electrical tape and checkerboarding the whole kit.
Whoa!
Yeah, it looked really cool.
Like, what, that band from England, the Specials or something?
Sure, right.
Yeah, right. Okay. And you went and got this. You went and traded for it. So there was no, like, pressure, like, from parents. Like, if I get you this, you got to take lessons. Did you take lessons?
I didn't. My lessons were my friend's advice. He said, just listen, find a radio station, and just play along to the music.
You know how George Hurley did it?
How did he do it?
He bought My Generation, The Who, Spectrum by Billy Cobham.
Ooh.
And then he got some headphones. And he just,
he
fucking manhandled it with those two fucking records pracking every day. Traded
you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, trading, making surfboards. Got rid of all that shit and just got into doing drum. So
nice.
People, you got to see that. You can be self-motivated and do it that way. Sure. Everybody's got their own way of getting it. Now, how long were you man alone and before it was time to play with other cats?
Man, it was not long. I had gotten this drum set. It was like a few months.
Wow.
I mean, I would watch MTV videos and just kind of mimic it. So when I got the kit, I was able to play a 4/4 beat, eighth notes, straightforward rock.
Yeah.
I was able to do that. And then I would pick up records and, but it was, you met this cat, Ballard Leesman.
Oh, yeah.
He lives here in Athens. So we grew up together in Charleston. Fantastic drummer. And so he was playing bass, I was playing drums, and we had this guy, David Lee, playing guitar. And that was the band Good Sam.
Oh, Power Trio.
Yeah.
Good Sam. Okay.
Good Sam.
Okay. I heard about them. Now, do you remember the first Good Sam gig?
The first Good Sam gig? Yes. I wish I knew the man's name. We were playing in a neighborhood, downtown Charleston. And I have photos of it. And yes, I do remember there was these big Fender PA speakers, tower speakers, and we played, and this man, neighbor, came down the street yelling at us saying, "You boys need to turn it down. It's like an echo chamber out here. My wife and I are trying to sleep. We can't sleep." Just all trust and accent. Ballard does it really well.
Now, was this like Music Farm days or Miskins or ooh, shit like that?
Wow. This would have been 88, 89. So it would have been...
Well, there's different...
This wasn't... I take it back. It was a house party.
Yeah, there was different Music Farms, right? Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So there was a Music Farm on East Bay Street, and then they moved on to
downtown.
A bigger location.
Yeah, downtown.
Yeah, downtown. So we would have also played, maybe not with Good Sam, played, I hate to bring this up to you because I know you're going to remember this place, and it might bring back, it might piss you off. Club Dog Alley?
One gig. You know, you only play a lame gig once, unless you're an idiot.
Right, yes, we played.
And I remember the boss was actually a cat from New York, and I think he was on the shit, on the pipe or something.
Yep. Yeah. Because you guys played there, and then when you played the Music Farm, you guys had him, you told security to get that guy out. He was at the show. Yeah. He stiffed you guys like he stiffed everyone else.
Yeah, that's sad. It was tragic.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, but those things happen. You're speed bumps in the road of music.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to play some Good Sam, Buddy Ebsen.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
day, 100,000 watt radio station. He would play, you know, like at 5 o'clock, I want to say on Thursdays or Fridays, he would play, he would have like a local hour.
Yeah, people were talking about Woody, the Woodman. He had a station. Now, we're talking about a college. Well, Charleston's a lot of kind of different town, but it's got a school, but no fucking radio. But the Woodman, he had, Woody had this station and big power, and also they put on some festivals.
Yeah, the festivals were amazing. It was 96 Wave was the radio station.
That's right. That's right. Good old days. You know, it wasn't all bad old days. It was some good parts. Yep. And cats
hell
like that.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me about the old days, and I say it's like these days, too. It's all about people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, how long did Good Sam go?
Good Sam was just around, I don't really know.
Well, you kind of know. You were the drummer, man.
Yeah, I was the drummer, but man, dang, that was so long ago. You know, we might have played 6-8 months together, and then Ballard moved to Athens to go to school here.
Right.
And I moved to New York for a little while. I was there about a year. So, you know, it was probably 6, 7, 8 months.
Okay,
Ballard, you know, I didn't have any drum, you know, I didn't take any drum lessons, but I will say Ballard was a big help. You know,
the one
thing that he taught me, I'll never forget this, he said, timing, keep that tempo steady, dynamics, know when to play now loud, know when to play soft, don't speed up when you play louder, don't slow down when you play slower, and then drum fills, you know, make them tasteful. And I never forgot those three things.
That's great advice. And also the idea of learning by doing. You know, I forgot to tell the people what we played. There was Buddy Ebsen from Good Sam, Bob's Prendon. Was that one of your first recordings, Pete?
Good Sam?
Buddy Ebsen.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have Rebop from Bombus Prendon, Electrostatic, Electrosonic. Actually, that was the name of the record. It was Delia Derbyshire and two other people from that BBC Sound Workshop under pseudonyms.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't write them down like an asshole. Sorry. Okay. Spronton Slayer after that. This is Roger Miller from Mission to Burma when he was still in Ann Arbor as a young man, as a bass player even. Yeah, the Ashton brothers told me about going to parties. Roger Miller's parents would let these guys have parties in their pad. I think they were teachers, professors. Then we had Styx, not the Chicago band. No, Ridiculous Trio out of Chicago. This is sax, tuba, and drums. Power Trio doing Stooges songs. No fun.
Nice.
And then Styx, not the Chicago band, but this new one with nephew Alex from Dirty Beaches, and a Ruski guy named Zarya. The tune's named Zarya. I don't know his name. Sorry, brother. I'll learn it. And Guy by Voices after that, Down the Island. Hellbeans out of England with the demo. A new tune, Sick in the Head. And brand new from Himmel Room. Himmel's Heaven. But I think these guys are Danish with because this word... Unselinga Ven. Okay, so yeah, my fucked up knees. My pop's ma came from Denmark, so, and there was a family thing, and I could see where the fucked up knees came from. The gift that keeps giving, right? And then finally, Fabulous Bird with No Way. Okay, so you go to New York City. Did you bring the drum set with you?
I didn't. I didn't go to New York to play music. So I started out on skateboards. Skateboarding led me to theater. And then theater led me to acting. And I went to go pursue acting.
Okay.
Had some friends up there, yeah.
So you put the sticks down.
I put the sticks down for about a year.
Okay. Then what made you want to pick them up, back up?
Well, I went to New York and I was ambivalent. You know, I had ambivalence to being an actor. Some days I'd wake up saying, yeah, this is what I want to do. And some days I'd wake up going, what am I doing here? And had a friend back in Charleston that was making music and producing music, working at a studio. And we would send cassettes of demos. And
well, what would you put on your cassette? Hand clapping?
Man,
ham
bones? It was almost more spoken word, you know.
Okay.
Singing an idea of a, you know, of a song.
Okay, okay.
And
you mean like that? Have you ever heard that Trogs outtake where they're trying to tell the guy how to do a fill? Do beep boop beep bop, and they're all bracho and shit. Fucking bastard. It's baby.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, you cut rope and you go back to.
I go back to Charleston and decide, man, I can do whatever I want where I want to do it because I was working all the time. I didn't have time to audition or do anything in New York, and I just decided, man, if you want to do something, do it because you enjoy doing it. You love doing it, and it was music for me. You know, I went to. What's the name of that club? It's now Webster Hall
in
New York.
The Ritz.
Yes, the Ritz.
That was the biggest place a punk band could play.
Man, I saw some great shows there, and that inspired me. I saw Dinosaur Jr. I saw Ball.
Yeah.
That was a crazy show. That was a crazy...
Ball,
that was
I think that had Don Fleming in it.
Don Fleming, yeah.
Don
Kramer,
Fleming
yeah.
In Kramer, right, right.
The Shimmy Disc guys, right?
Yeah, not Brother Wayne Kramer.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Different Kramer in a lot of ways. Right. So
I saw some of those shows and I got inspired.
You were inspired, but it's expensive to live there. Instead, you go back home and you get in another band.
I get in another band. Yeah.
And what were they called?
We were called Checking the Harvest.
Whoa!
It was inspired by a fly. A news article on my father. He went to Greece in the 70s when my grandfather died, and he came back and smuggled an olive plant.
Tree.
And so
olive tree. We got a lot of
article. The News and Courier wrote an article on my father, and they titled it "Checking the Harvest."
They're olive trees because we got a lot in Pedro when the Italians came from Ischia. They plant a tree in all their yards. Yeah, because Greeks and Italians share that olive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the south part where the heel is of the boot, it's right across the Adriatic. So there's buttloads of olive trees. Now, Ischia is an island off of Napoli on the other side, but still something about olives in Italy and Greece. So he probably smuggled. But a tiny tree is kind of like a bush.
Yeah, like a bush.
Sapling. Okay, so that's where the name came from, the newspaper article.
Yeah, we were inspired by that newspaper article. I had my father holding his olives.
Did you record?
We had some stuff. I'm not sure where it is, but we did record some stuff on 4-track.
Because I'm wondering, because you didn't send me any.
I didn't, you know, it just dawned on to me, actually.
And how long this band lasts?
And maybe a year, if that.
And then what was after that?
After that was Honey Wagon.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I put a Honey Wagon tune on
there. Yeah. We're going to get to that at the end of the show. I should have had it. Well, I didn't know the chronology, you know.
Oh, that's okay. No, I
saw there was a lot of Fabulous Bird, though.
Yeah, that's more present stuff.
That's more current. Yeah, okay. You know, when I get this mind-reading thing solved, there won't be any problem.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah.
So, I'm curious, what led to the breakup?
Usually with any of these bands, it was school. Everyone, it seemed like, wanted to go back to school and finish school, especially with Honey Wagon. We were a trio, and those two guys were studying to be psychiatrists.
Are they that
thick? Therapists.
Are they that these days?
Yes.
Wow, so they had success. Okay.
Yeah. They decided, they were in school when we were playing, actually.
You know those skills, though? They probably would come in handy in a band sitch.
Hell yeah. Telling me.
We're at the end of the first hour. October 28, 2020 edition of Watt Peter Show. Special guest Peter Avalos.
Albanos. Albanos.
Yeah. I'm not an asshole. I'm sorry, Peter. Hold tight for hour 2.
Okay.
October 28, 2020 is the second hour of the Watt for Peter Show. Thank you.
my mailbox, reckon that's what I'll do. Hope there'll be a letter there, hope it'll be from you. Cause it's been too long, honest, since I had some good news. You know, some sweet kind words from your darling I would not refuse. Gonna go to the barroom, order a glass of wine. Maybe I'll find you better, babe. That would be just fine. Cause it's been too long, honey, since I saw your face. You got the kind of love I could never replace.
Drink, boys, and see that you don't spill. For if you do, you will
will drink to that is your master's will. Hooray, boys, oh, you have got your way. And as you do, you will drink to that is your master's way. Drink, boys, see that you don't spill. For if you do, you will drink to that is your master's will. Hooray, boys, you have got your way. As you do, you will drink two cups of famous.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show start off the second hour with Your Bird from the Famous Bird. And then the parentheses you had, plus John DeFillo?
Yep.
Yeah. And what did he do?
Man, I sent him that recording of me just playing acoustic and singing. And I said, man, check this out. I had just come back from tour. And I came back to Athens and I ran into him in Athens because there was another pop festival in Athens and we hit it off. We had mutual friends, but anyways, we were staying in touch, and I said, check this out, man. This has just been really inspired lately. Wanted you to check it out. And the next thing I know, I get it. He said, send me your email, and I sent him my email. He played everything else.
Oh,
he played drums. He added everything.
Did a Dave Grohl. He did a Dave Grohl on you.
He did. And I was flattered. I'm like, holy shit, this sounds amazing.
Stevie Wonder.
Thank you.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam Stevie Bennett Wonder. After that. And Prince, right? All those guys, from what I've read, and I asked Dave when he made that first album, started with the drums.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Sam Bennett after that with Been Too Long, The God and Hackney, they were on a couple episodes ago, Sooty Boat Race. I think Elvis's ma called the Feet Sooties because Elvis was crying at the funeral. You were little Sooties. Yeah. It's trippy. Anyway, Thorn Friends. drummer man out of Austin with Uber Driver. Are You a Cop? They were on last month. Monica. Tollum with Daydream the Way, his new record. And then Turn and Go from Fabulous Bird. I mean, we're going to play a lot of Fabulous Bird on this show. Tell me about this project.
Fabulous Bird was inspired by my great uncle Herman DiGiovanna. He was an artist in Boston, Massachusetts. He was the spiritual guide to this Armenian-American artist, Alan Havanas. And I have a lot of Herman's paintings, and he would come and visit family before I was born. He would come visit family, and he would draw, and he was this guy that he was considered the psychic painter, the Socrates of Boston, and he could see into the past and in the future. And my mother told me many stories about this guy. And anyways, there was a part of me that felt guilt of doing what I loved and having fun doing it. And the idea of somehow making a living as a musician artist. And one day the lights went off. I thought, hey, everyone looks up to Herman and respects him and says nothing but wonderful things about this guy. And guess what? He was an artist. So I felt like it just kind of gave me the green light to go for it. And there's a painting that I have that is titled Fabulous Bird.
Ah, and he made the painting.
He made the painting.
So in a way, it was like a validation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's kind of the reason I wrote that song. Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs.
Yeah?
In a strange way, yeah. When I thought about Bobby Dylan and what he wrote, and because I was worried about what I was writing, and I said, fuck it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it was for me. It was like, no one's going to disown me.
And what was the first Fabulous Bird song you wrote?
I think it was a tribute to you, which I did not send you.
Okay.
Damn it.
Well, like skateboarding, right? Maybe you don't want video of your first time on the skateboard.
Yeah, right. True. Very true.
Here, I want to play Beats Per Second. That sounds like a drummer, man.
Beats Per Second. Your heart races, and for good reason, he reveals all aces. Oh yeah, what a hand. Oh yeah, oh yeah. In the sky, Mother's cry.
Watt from Pedro Show. Beats per second from Fabulous Bird. Ganji Island after that with Spooky Action at a Distance. The Magnet Hearts. We had Brother Franklin on the other week. My Brain Was Fried in the California Sun. Thor Harris and Rob Howard. More Thor Harris. Drummers Can't Stop. Wisconsin Ethics. Film with Sound of Heavy Stone. But he's with Rob Howerson there. Which is trippy because the other one's Thor and Friends. But I imagine Rob's a friend too. Film off their new album with Sound of a Heavy Stone. And then Elf Power with Twitching. Now, Elf Power has gone a long time. So, what era were you in with those guys?
Well, I'm still in with them.
Oh, okay.
I started around 2011. New Year's Eve show.
And then how'd that happen? Because Athens Connect?
Athens Connection. We had a lot of mutual friends. I had Elf Power being part of the Elephant Six, the collective.
Yeah.
I had played in 2004 with Bill Doss of the Olivia Termic Control. And it's a small town.
Yeah. And it's divided town, right? It's college of Bulldogs and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got everything else.
Yeah.
But you know, like a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So what was your first gig with Elf Power like?
Man, it was cool because it was a New Year's show at the 40 Watt.
Ah, Barry. Barry Buck.
Yeah. Yeah, Barry.
Great boss.
She's awesome. Yeah.
Now, Fabulous Bird, that was like your Man Alone project, right?
It has been with other people, and more recently, the last few years, it has become more of just me doing it. Yes.
And what I was wondering was, when you joined the Elf Power guys, did you kind of put it on the shelf?
Well, I would say playing shows, I may have put it on the shelf, but I just continue to write and record.
Yeah.
And have a website that was more of my outlet.
So it was like kind of parallel universe.
Yeah. I mean, with Elf Power, yeah, I'm going to put that up first because we're touring and we're doing a lot. And it was it is a great opportunity for me. And I've got to play with a lot of really cool acts. So it's more like Fabulous Bird is more of just to keep me happy to get out what's in my head.
Well, it's like having your own fanzine. There's no filter. Like with Elf Power, you join in a band, you got to negotiate your input, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Andrew is amazing. He's very open-minded to others' ideas and stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, this band's been around forever, and I'm joining the band, and I'm here to do my job, be prepared, be there on time, know the songs. And I think Andrew is smart about who he hires. He's not going to hire someone to do something that he wants them to do. He's not going to try to change you. He saw my drumming, my abilities, and thought I would be a good fit. So,
you know, I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
In all the arts to, like, switch up the roles. Sometimes you're the shot caller. Sometimes you let other cats be the shot caller.
You can't, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you can't learn everything being the boss, and then you get this kind of weird sidemanitis if you never get to express your own thing.
Right, right.
And it seems like life is about different roles. You get put in different situations, so you have to navigate it. You know what I'm saying? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So I think it's kind of healthy. I really learned this because I didn't do much of that stuff until like the Portal for Pyros. And then mm-hmm. I helped out Jay Maskus and then 125 Months with the Stooges. And I found out it was really important to kind of do those kind of stuff. Especially if you're going to ask people to take direction, you should learn how to take direction yourself at that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, putting your ego aside, you know, Andrew, not being a drummer, has an idea. I'm going to be open to it because he's not a drummer, he's going to probably come up with something cool where he doesn't know the rules, so he's going to break all the rules.
Okay.
So yeah. He might come up with something that's interesting. You know, for instance, I know that when I first started drumming, I look back and go, damn, that was really cool and creative. I didn't know rudiments. I didn't understand things except for by just feel. And I'm trying to get back to that.
Yeah. The age of, or the time of discovery, isn't that trippy? Because then it could just get covered up with cliches and shtick.
Yeah. Man, true.
That's interesting. And it's something that you can't really know ahead of time. I think you have to live it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the school of life.
I agree.
Yeah. We're at the end of the second hour, October 28, 2020. Special guest, Peter Avanas.
Woo!
Yeah, okay, success. Hold tight for hour three. October 28, 2020 is the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
I was 13. Rock and roll hit me. I felt electricity. Daddy, you've been at it for so long. Now you belong. It seems like forever. It's better now than never. Keys into the stars. The speechless wonder, I wonder. Playing your songs, isn't that what really matters? Now, spinning songs. My best friend, Jamie Lorenz. We were young Americans, but now he's gone with Bowie. Thank you.
Why from Pedro show, we start off the third hour with Pinball Kings from Fabulous Bird. And we're relating back to the Space Pony guys that were telling us last episode about the Pinball Odyssey rock opera, you know, and the metaphor that we're all just pinballs. And Pete brought up the idea of the tilt, which is interesting because I said the same fucking thing when they were talking to me.
Awesome.
Yeah. We had Crane after that with Lost Cause. Bronze Age UFO or UFO from Baltimore with Alice Croupier, not Cooper. Side A.
Oh, wow. Did,
yeah, big old, I think I like a 3 or 4 cassette tape. Cats are getting into that again. It's cassette tapes.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and then the Rave Up from Fabulous Bird. Well, interesting. You know, I saw pictures of you with acoustic guitar.
Yes.
So you did learn other instruments.
Oh, yeah. I mean, playing in bands with Good Sam and Honey Wagon and Checking the Harvest, I would learn a chord here or there. And living in Charleston, I got frustrated trying to find like-minded people that I decided I'm just going to write my own songs.
Yeah, you know, my philosophy is if you can play drums, you can play all the other instruments because it's all about rhythm. And this is why I think they've made jokes out of drummers, because it's contempt for the power. It's rhythm, right?
And so,
let's hide him in the back and say he's stupid.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah, big problem. Big mistake I think Minuteman made was putting George Hurley in the back. He should have been. You know, last 20 years, I've had my drummers way up front.
Yeah.
I never have that in the back shit anymore. Fuck that. That's ridiculous. Well,
George would, that makes plenty of sense to put George up front.
You know, we're going to play something here. I didn't get to meet Nicky, but I met his brother, Epic.
Okay.
Really nice cat, but we're going to play this tune, Family Baba. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Nikki Sudden with Family Bible. We Are the Asteroid with Nothing from their new record. They're working on a new one out of Austin. And then finally, Honey Wagon, which should have been at the beginning because this is one of Pete's first bands. With Vitamin H. Vitamin H for Honey Wagon. Okay, tell me about this Nikki Sudden, because I'm a big Swell Maps fan. I mean, him and his brother Epic, it was a... Heard about Seymour. I remember getting the single. And then this album called Jane from Occupy Europe was just fucking righteous.
Yeah. I mean, he was prolific. I mean, he's got so much stuff out. It's not even funny.
Where'd you mind-blowing. Meet him? In New York City?
No, I met him in Athens. He would, you know, REM, because of REM, I feel like there's this bridge to the world. I mean, you get people all over the world coming here, whether they're REM fanatics or musicians, you know, Robin Hitchcock, Nikki Sudden. Nikki Sudden would come here in the summers. When I moved here 2001, I would say 2002, 2003, I discovered him. And he would come. I would recognize him. He would come every summer. And I knew when he was in town, because when I would hit all the thrift shops to find all the Paisley and Western shirts, it would be all the small size would be gone. I'm like, fuck, I guess Nikki's in town. I can't find anything. And sure enough, June, July, you know, it's 90 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say, the time to visit Athens.
Well, but let me tell you, he would wear
school was out. At least school was out.
Scarves and long sleeve shirts.
With the fucking humanism.
Yeah, but that's what he's used to in Europe. I guess they're not as, you know... They don't really have AC there.
Okay.
You know, at least then, I guess.
Okay,
I
mean, but tell me about this musical connect.
Yeah, so I crossed paths with him a few times, and...
What, traded shirts?
Yeah, we would talk about music and stuff, and what happened was I was driving to work, and Adam Music, who was the other part, it was a Southern Bitch... who played on that with Nikki Sudden. It's Nikki Sudden featuring Southern Bitch. I don't know if I included that. But anyways, Adam called me and said, hey, man, you want to come play some drums? And I was like, yeah, just let me know when. He said, well, I need you now. And I'll never forget where I was. I was at the end of Washington Street.
I know where that is.
I was about to make a left to go to work.
I know where that is.
40 watt.
Yep.
I was about to make a left to go to work.
I gotta tell the listeners something. There's a courthouse or the mayor's office of shit, and there's a double barrel cannon.
Yeah.
This guy, some doctor invented it. He thought you could blow it out with a chain in between and kill all kinds of people, but they couldn't get two fuses to burn at the same time.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Well, no, yeah. So instead of making a left, I called in and I a friend that was already working there, and I asked her if she would cover my shift. She said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I had already said yes, whether she was going to cover for me or not. I was like, I'll see ya. And when I went to the studio at Chase Park, there was Adam Music and Nikki Sudden was there. It was like, oh, shit. I had just talked to him the night before. We were talking about the Stones and Beatles and Ringo Starr and... Charlie Watts, and it was like, oh, wow. And so that's how I played with him. But after we played, I asked him if he'd barter with me, and I actually had him play on a Fabulous Birds song as well, play a solo.
Oh, great.
And I'm thinking about it now going, damn it, I didn't send you that. Shit.
No.
But so you can that's always, how I met him.
You can always send me whenever, and I'll play it.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Thank you so much, Pete.
But that's how I met him. You know, he would hang around town, and I have to tell you this story. So that was 2000 and I think it was shit. When did he die? I think 2006.
Something like that.
So it would have been that year.
I think in New York City.
I'm sorry?
I think it was in New York City right after he died.
It was, yeah. So he was in Athens and he was going to go to New York City, and his last show in Athens... I overslept. I had worked like these long shifts, And I rushed downtown to come see him play. And he said, he goes, where were you, man? I waited for you. And I said, man, I'm so sorry, Nikki. I overslept. I've been working a lot of hours lately. And I got to hang out with him for about 30 minutes or an hour. And that's the last time I saw him.
Oh, man.
I mean, that was it. I missed that last show. But I felt...
But there's a lesson there.
I got to see him.
Pete, there's a lesson there. That you never know how much time you got. So you got to make shit count, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I learned it hard way with Dee Boone, man. You just don't know how much time you got, right?
You don't. You're right.
So when I remember I took this young guy on tour, and he goes, we got an hour to kill. And I looked at him.
Yeah.
And I said, think about that. I mean, you're only 22. We were only 22 when we started the Minutemen. But look, Pete, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm, you can find me at www.fabbird.com, FABBIRD.com. And then I do have an Instagram page, Fabulous Bird.
But everybody can get to all them other things through your own site, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, what do you got in the oven?
What do I have in the oven?
That's a metaphor, Pete.
No, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm just in a place right now. I teach music as well. I've got drums set up in my living room, and I'll tell you what I think I have in the oven. I think maybe some, lately I've been getting behind the kit and playing more jazz influenced, I should say. Just random, abstract 10 minutes of, it's like a 10 minute drum solo.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of adding like free verse or something over that. Something completely different.
Yeah. Man, when you get that together, when you get that cooked, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
I would love to.
Man, that would be bitching. I like, you know, because that's the whole idea of the movement and ways. Just let the freak flag fly, you know? Why does it? I mean, I remember my pop telling me this, let's get a little Greek here, philosophy, right? Why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So what you're doing, you know, if the Berlin Walls were only physical, we could take a hammer to them, but they're in our fucking heads. So, man, I love what you're going to do.
Thank you.
Really. And it's a big honor. Like I said, come back on as soon as you get that good. People, it's been the October 28, 2020 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.